You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Hola, amigos. Boy, we got a ton to get into today. Yes, sir. Pels talk, what Fletcher Mackel said on Off the Bench this morning, and Jeff Duncan seconded, that made us reach out to Brian Windhorst of ESPN. He's going to join us in 10 minutes. Could Alvin Gentry remain? Thoughts around the league and NBA circles as to the hiring of David Griffin. He's covered LeBron. Of course, a couple stops in Cleveland. David Griffin was the GM there at a time when they won the championship. So who better to tell us what kind of vice president of basketball operations the Pels are going to get than Windy? We'll have him on coming up in 10 minutes. Bottom of the hour, Kurt Heelan, did you watch the late game? I'll forgive you if you didn't. It was late, close to midnight. Did you see what happened, though? 31-point lead by the Golden State Warriors. They blow it. The Clippers come back and win. That's a huge story in and of itself. Boogie going down early in the game, right, Jordan the intern. Not that I ever enjoy patting myself on the back, Jordan, but here we go.
Are you really doing this right now?
What did I text you the second that the injury went down? What did I text you? What did Dr. Kattengill, and I can only imagine the graph's eyes rolling right now.
Quad.
I said that looks like a quad injury, doesn't it?
Charles Barkley also said it.
Yeah, but I said it.
Don't get too excited.
But I'm talking about it. As it happened, I text you. I said, that looks like a quad, didn't I? Dr. Kattengill. No one plays a doctor or meteorologist better than it. Well, Joey plays a meteorologist really well because he actually went to meteorology classes. I just pretend. But no one plays a doctor better on air than I do.
Wow. Yeah.
Just.
The research is part two.
Yeah, the research is part two.
In the making.
I am not laughing at him.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not. I just... Karma. It's a shame. It's a shame it happened. But a 31-point lead blown last night by the Warriors. So we'll get into that. Three games on tap tonight. You got the Magic and Raptors on TNT at 7 o'clock. Orlando surprisingly leading that series. 1-0. You remember? DJ Augustin, top of the key three. Brother Martin's own started there, went to Tejas, and then knocked down that game winner. And pretty nice to sort of see that take place. And then... you got Spurs and Nuggets. I want to keep saying, as I said to start the show yesterday with Brian, who was in studio here with us, why am I still surprised every time San Antonio wins and does good? I shouldn't, right? But the Nuggets are the 2 seed, Spurs the 7 seed, and San Antonio is a 1-0 lead, so must-win game, obviously, for Denver going in there. Thunder and Trailblazers, I was surprised by this one. I thought OKC was better. Does Paul George have an issue in the postseason? Right? Remember last year, when was it that he gave himself the playoff P name and then he kind of really didn't do too well in the playoffs? But playoff P didn't do too well in game number one. I do feel the Thunder bounce back. I don't know. I'm surprised. But look, for the Trailblazers getting swept last year by the Pels, yeah, no doubt that was something that motivated him for sure. Sixers even up the series with the Nets last night, 145-123 in a game that had no defense when you look at it. And again, the Clippers game, 135-131. I'll tell you what, you watched any of those games last night, it was just very offensive-minded for sure. So 51 points, though, by Philadelphia in the third quarter alone. 51 points in the third quarter alone for the Sixers in a game that I'm telling you, they lose, it'd have been over for them. Joel Embiid led it there with 23 points. He had 10 rebounds. Ben Simmons, 18 points. He did not attempt a three-pointer. I almost feel like we need to do that, Jordan, every time he plays. He won't even attempt a three. You realize how rare that is as a guard in the NBA or somebody dominates the ball like he does? He refuses to even attempt a three. Now, I get it. It's because he can't make it. But he refuses to even attempt a three.
Benny.
Your guy, Ben Simmons.
My guy.
Yeah, your guy, Ben Simmons. I'll say this as well. So, again, we'll talk a little NBA in our number one coming up. At 105, we'll touch on the big NFL news. Yes, there's two, well, there's two NFL news things to point out to you, and we'll start with the one that matters the most to you, to your black and gold people. Tomorrow evening, schedule release. There it is. You can plan your fall. You can plan your life. I used to make fun of this day, Joey. I wholeheartedly used to make fun of the people that would freak out on schedule release day. And then I realized it actually is kind of important. And again, in my world and with what I do, and Jordan, you probably feel the same. If you work in sports, schedule release day for the NFL is kind of a big deal, right? Because I know about you. In my world, I immediately look at when the bye is, because that's when I know I can maybe take a day off or vacation or weekend or something, especially in October. It's my sister's. She's celebrating her 40th. So I'm looking for when that may happen. I also look to see when the college schedules. It's true. When you think about it, college football schedules and NFL football schedules matter. When birthday parties happen, weddings, Jordan, when that day comes that you wait on the altar or wherever it is
down.
That you want. Yeah, you settle down. I mean, wherever it is you want to do it, you know, and the beautiful bride walks up to you. Poor help that soul. But still.
My wife.
By the way, we'll be there. We'll be there. Just letting you know.
I don't know. I don't know if you're going to invite.
We're going to do it sports show style. We're going to actually call the, we'll have the graph do like play by play, see what it's like, if you're nervous or not.
I'm going to have a balcony. Yeah. Y'all could be on the balcony.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
Great view, play by play.
Yeah. Sweet level like.
Of my marriage.
Exactly. Sweet level like. We'll podcast it, but we'll have fun with that. Point is, seriously, people look at that, right? I mean, for years, LSU, Alabama, nobody does anything on LSU, Alabama weekend if you're a Tiger fan. So, yes, it does matter. It actually really honestly does matter. And you can start looking at it taking shape, even though, although, the last year we looked at that schedule, and what did we say?
Tough
Saints.
One.
I was 10 wins, man. 11. They wound up winning 13, could have won 14.
Pretty sure I said 13.
Pat yourself on the back on that. But look, there are a ton of storylines this year heading into it. And as a reminder, we'll get into this here in a little bit with 105. With Deuce Windham of The Athletic, because yesterday we talked about his question he posed on social media. What do you do with Russell Wilson? He hypothetically said, if you're the Saints, would you trade Alvin Kamara, next year's first and third round pick, for Russell Wilson? We debated that a bit yesterday. We talked about it. Well, it's really a hypothetical now because it'll never happen. The Seahawks hooked him up. Four-year deal, $140 million.
Something.
Yeah,
something
like 65 guaranteed. He is paid. And got to tell you, the Instagram video of him and his wife, it's a little strange. Don't you think it's a little strange?
I haven't seen it yet.
No?
Yeah, I woke up, went
to
school.
Yeah, it's basically like, because it was late at night. He gave that deadline of midnight. So I guess he turned the light on in his nightstand because he's laying down with her and she's kind of covered up by a bed sheet and he's thanking the city of Seattle and she's all winky winky. It was really weird. I'm all about, like, you know, hey, thanking people on Instagram. There's a time and place. You know what I'm saying? It was strange. And there he is, Jordan, looking it up immediately. There it is. But yeah, so remember, home games: Atlanta, Carolina, Tampa Bay, Arizona, San Francisco, Houston, Indianapolis, Dallas. Away: Atlanta, Carolina, Tampa, Seattle, the Rams, Chicago, Tennessee, and Jacksonville. Will there be a cold road game? Is it Seattle? Is it Chicago? All of that's coming out tomorrow officially. And I'm just telling you now, it started this morning, Leakapalooza. Everyone's leaking this, leaking that. I heard this, I heard that. So you Google it, you tweet it, you look for it in the search file. You're probably going to see some shape or form of different schedules that are out there. I've seen one already. that, you know, would be interesting. But again, that comes out tomorrow. So we got plenty to get into with Deuce on that. Bottom of next hour, Gary Smith of The Athletic covers the Tulane Green Wave. Tulane UNO on the diamond today. We'll talk as college baseball gets back in at LSU. The Wally Pontiff Classic is tonight at 7 p.m. on the Shrine on Airline. They will face UL Lafayette. We'll speak with Manny, UNO play-by-play at 2:15. So we'll try to maybe get somebody from LSU as they lost the weekend series to Missouri. Look to bounce back on this one. You normally expect 8, 9, 10,000, right? Folks over at the Shrine and Airline tonight against the Cajuns, tailgating Palooza will be going on there as well. So that's what's lined up for you. Let's take the break as hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King, 504-909-KING. Out of the break, Brian Windhorst from ESPN, you know him, covers the NBA, has a very good feel of who David Griffin can be. What can he be for the Pelicans? We'll ask him next as you're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Hi, I'm Jason Giles with the King Firm.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
April may bring showers, but at Buckle Mitsubishi, it's raining cash. During the Spring Fest sales event, drive home in a new 2018 Eclipse Cross and take $4,500 off the MSRP. Or jump into a new 2019 Outlander Sport and take $4,000 off the MSRP. You want a little bit more? How about right now, take $5,000 off the MSRP when you choose a new 2019 Outlander SEL with seating for 7, Apple CarPlay, and leather seats. Now, that's how we roll during the Spring Fest at Buckle Mitsubishi with $4,500 off Eclipse Cross and $4,000 off new Outlander Sport and $5,000 off new Outlander SEL. Plus, all these new Barker Mitsubishi come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. So come save thousands during the Spring Fest sales event only at Barker Mitsubishi in Houma or shop online at BarkerMitsubishi.com. Come see me, people, and remember that shrimp and laughter.
18KT 129 MSRP 2438 2,000 dealer discount 2,000 factory rebate. Stock number 19T06 MSRP 2383 3,000 dealer discount 1,000 factory rebate. 19T055 MSRP 3910 3,000 dealer discount 2,000 factory rebate. We'll see CMS to deal for details. Once he's Evolution and MIEV, sale and save for 30-2019.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning-fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
Every favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town, and we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
Accidents and injuries can put your life on the sideline.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
Yeah, your Pelicans are not in the postseason. Still some really good games to watch, but I think a lot of reason for optimism, hope, and honestly, I think excitement. Brian Windhorst covers the NBA for ESPN at Windhorst. ESPN's the way to follow him over on Twitter. And of course, you see him all across all the kind of platforms over on the network. Brian, thanks for joining us this week, and how are you, man?
Good, thank you.
Look, man, you take a look at what's going on this season. How crazy has it been, especially in relations to Anthony Davis and the Pelicans, covering it as you have, you know, outside of New Orleans?
You know, I came to New Orleans in the preseason, and I spent some time with Anthony and Dell Demps and Alvin Gentry. And the one thing that I felt like was I could feel the jitteriness in the organization. I've been there and seen this before. When you have a guy like that who's near a potential free agent maneuver. The whole organization feels it, and they feel it every day. I could smell it. And it's a bad place to be in, but it's a reality in the NBA. If you have a good player, this is what happens. You kind of want that tension, to be honest with you, but I could feel it. But I also felt like Anthony was taking a very mature and team-minded approach early in the season. So I was very surprised at the turn that he made. I think that it was outside the guy that I thought I was going to get this year. I really thought he would go all out this season. I really question the decision-making and the concept. I understand in a vacuum what he was doing, and I also understand that his reputation could recover. You know, you look at, for example, Paul George. He doesn't walk around with the stigma of having demanded a trade. You know, Chris Paul has demanded a trade a couple of times, obviously, as the New Orleans fans remember. He doesn't carry that stigma. So it's hard to know, but he was a guy who really didn't have a blemish on his reputation. Maybe that he didn't make the playoffs as much, but really a strange decision, and it's thrown the franchise into flux, and now it's a crisis, and now basically it's about management of the crisis and trying to work your way through it, and nobody's happy about it, to be honest with you.
Speak with Brian Windhorst of ESPN. You know, it's interesting you went there, because I was going to ask you, having been around him in the league and obviously knowing a little bit better than we would, is it easy for fans here to blame Clutch Sports, to blame LeBron, because it just seemed like AD was out of character? We just haven't seen it. It's just it even when he was talking with Rachel Nichols in that first interview before the season started, Brian, you know, of him saying it's about my time and I'm just this season. It just seemed like he was trying to speak a certain way that we hadn't really sort of seen. He looked uncomfortable, I guess, in his own skin like that. So I guess my question to you, did it seem odd, his demeanor, behavior, or is this who AD is?
Look, you can blame the agent if you want. I mean, part of the agent's job is to take that blame. But ultimately, you know, Clutch is an employee of Anthony Davis. You know, I think he ultimately had to say, this is what I want to do. And so, like I said, you can throw blame, and you know, you may have a point about it. And, you know, if you're going to blame LeBron, what's LeBron to be blamed for? LeBron said he wanted to play with him.
Right.
Wanted his team to get him. I mean, I can understand if you're a Pelicans fan how you wouldn't like that, but it's not like he committed a sin. He said he wants to play with him. Ultimately, Anthony's decision to handle this season this way was Anthony's decision. And so he's got to take ownership of that. And that's where I'm going to, you know, lay the situation.
Yeah, no, I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, look, remember last year, or, you know, we're sitting there at the press conference with Boogie Cousins and AD say, they both tried to recruit each other to get to play. So it happens and they talk about it. So I guess you just look at each instance as something unique. Now, one of the things that, you know, again, just to help us understand here in New Orleans, because I think there's a belief, man, Clutch Sports, they run the NBA, they have all this power. LeBron's really the almost pseudo commissioner instead of Adam Silver. How much power do they really have, do you think, around the league?
Well, there's no superstar playing alongside LeBron, and the Lakers are out of the playoffs. I think what Clutch really tries to do is they try to encourage player empowerment. And I think that's just, you know, one of the things about LeBron that you have to understand, he thinks he, and he means other stars too, are in the middle of getting an absolutely ridiculous raw deal. Because he thinks, even though he makes $30 million a year, that his individual team makes hundreds of millions of dollars, and collectively the NBA off of LeBron has probably made billions of dollars over the years. And he has gotten a sliver of that. And he thinks that's a bad deal. It's one of the reasons why he wants to someday graduate on to being an owner from being a player.
Right.
So one of the things he's tried to do is he's tried to switch power from the owners back to the players, because it's a way to mitigate the lack of partnership that exists. And, you know, fans most of the time are aligned more on the team side. They root for the players that are in their uniform. And LeBron and his, you know, and Clutch to a certain extent are pushing back against the established system that is set up to take advantage of the teams in the uniforms. And so that can frustrate fan bases, and I totally get it, and I would never try to talk them out of it. Mm-hmm. But from a individual perspective, if you were in his shoes, you would understand why he's doing that. And you may say, well, wait a minute. He's going to be making $37 million. He'll make $400 million in his career before it's all said and done. I'm not going to sit here and pout for him. And that's fine. But that's just not the way he looks at it. And frankly, I understand why he feels that way.
Yeah, no doubt. Brian Windhorst of ESPN joining us. Talk a little bit about the Pels, the circumstance going on around the NBA. And I want to get to what you put up there on the 12th about there's a lot of names in free agency here. There's a lot of big names out there as well. And obviously here in New Orleans, we're looking at things a little differently. I watched March Madness differently, Brian. I was paying attention to Ja Morant is, you know, Barrett, Zion, obviously. So I was looking knowing they'd be in the lottery. When you take a look at just the overall picture here moving forward, it starts with the person that's going to make the decisions. What kind of individual are the Pelicans getting in David Griffin?
Well, I have to acknowledge up front that I'm very close to David Griffin. So I think he's a phenomenal general manager. If you want to know how tough his job was in Cleveland and how good he did at that job, just notice that like 15 minutes after he left, Kyrie Irving wanted out of there. And he kept LeBron, Kyrie Irving, Ty Lue, all those players on the same page with a challenging owner and, you know, one helped to win them a title. Mm-hmm. And as soon as he walked out of there, the whole thing essentially fell apart. He's incredibly talented at relationship building. The other thing I'll say is he's a businessman too. One of the things that he would say in Cleveland is, look, I'm not going to sit here and deny any trade rumor because every player on this team knows he could be traded. I would never say anybody is not tradable. Now, LeBron had a no-trade clause in Cleveland. He doesn't have one in L.A. But that, he was just very frank about that. He was like, look, we're running a business. We love the guys that we have. We're going to take care of the guys that we have. But the way this goes is, if I think I can improve the team, I have a duty to improve the team, and so I may have to trade all of you. And that may sound a little bit harsh, but it's actually a pretty good way to do business. Mm-hmm. And if the Lakers had done business that way, for example, maybe they wouldn't have had this, you know, collapse after all those guys got mentioned in trade rumors. Because if you are Rob Pelinka, if you are Magic Johnson, and you are not offering your entire team to get Anthony Davis, quite frankly, you are derelict in your duty. And basically, David Griffin is saying, I'm not going to be derelict in my duties. He has 25 years experience in the NBA. He has worked in markets where it's been challenging, and he doesn't have a lot of money, and he doesn't have a lot of resources. He's worked in Cleveland where the resources were plentiful. I have an incredible respect for him. He's very open with the media as much as he can be. He obviously has to keep certain things close to the vest. But an excellent hire by the Pelicans, and he's got a tough job, but he is equipped to do it. Doesn't mean it'll work. We have good men who can't get it done because it's hard to win in the NBA, but he is a good man for the job.
And Brian, how important was it? Because you saw Friday immediately afterwards, people that cover this league nationally thought it was a good move, respected move. And I guess that word respect, we hear it from players all the time, Brian. How important was it for the Pelicans with what happened this year, what's happened in the past, league buying the franchise, all that other stuff, to get respected? Because you're going to have to do business with a lot of people here with Anthony Davis's trade, with the lottery, with whatever it is you're going to be doing to build your franchise back up. How important was just that element of what you're talking about, hiring somebody that people around the league go, okay, they get it, and they mean business?
I think Mickey Loomis knew he had to have an experienced guy in the job right now. That's why he and Danny Ferry, who I am also have a good relationship with, just I want to disclose that. That's why he and Danny Ferry were the prime candidates, because the situation that exists right now, we have to make a trade. It's really difficult to hire somebody who doesn't have experience. And so I think Mickey really made experience a key part of what he was looking for in hiring the job. Something I'll say about Griff, you're going to hear positive feedback from him because Griff has a really good relationship with people in the media. There are other GMs who have been very good who don't have as much of a relationship, but because of his positive relationship with everybody in the media, he's going to be praised. But ultimately, he will not be judged on his relationship with those in the media. He'll be judged on how he gets the job done. They've got two humongous decisions coming up. One, obviously, is the Anthony Davis trade, which will probably define the early part of Griff's tenure. And secondly, what to do with this draft pick.
Right.
I am not a draft expert. I do not have the bandwidth to really watch college basketball. I trust the people that I talk to. The people that I talk to are all over the board about the depth of this draft. So first off, the possibility that they may jump up into the top four.
Right.
It's important for Pelicans fans to realize that the top four picks are now drawn this year because getting up to even four would be huge for them. Secondly, I can just tell by the variance the way people are talking to me that somebody in that zone, in 8, 9, 10, somebody's probably going to have a bite at a good player. And it's probably going to be hard to identify that good player, and you're going to need to be able to hit the ground running. So these are two really, really important things for Griff. I would also say what to do with Drew Holiday. I don't think you should trade him, but if the organization and the ownership wants to do a full rebuild and sort of go down to the studs, which is something that is reasonable. It may not be pleasant, but is reasonable. You have to examine that. I don't know how they're going on that, but all of those things are going to be on Griff's plate coming up here.
Final question for you, Brian Windhorst of ESPN. Again, appreciate your time at Windhorst ESPN. Follow on Twitter. I look at it like that. I look at it as an excitement. You look at it, they can get into top four, and there's, what, a 26% chance there, Brian, that they can do that. You're going to get a nice player there. If you do keep Drew, I wouldn't mind seeing in the backcourt a Kobe White, a Ja Morant, two point guards, I think, that could immediately step in and play and do that. And then you look at the trade. I think you can have some sort of excitement in that. Hey, you can probably get some players. So finish up with telling Pels fans, realistically, what can they expect, and what do you think eventually sort of happens and where AD sort of goes? Is it big that he will sign there, you know, wherever he goes, a contract extension? Do you risk that? Do you try to take the best you can? How do you think you approach the Anthony Davis trade?
So I think a big factor here is what happens with Kyrie Irving, because obviously the Celtics have a package of players that would be very attractive, and one of the reasons why the Pelicans waited in February was to get to Boston in the summer. If Kyrie Irving leaves and Anthony is not going to commit, and by the way, this is an important factor. Even if they did a trade with the Lakers and Anthony Davis got a Laker tattoo on his forehead and rode into the city of Los Angeles on a chariot, he could not extend his contract for 6 months, and a lot can go wrong in 6 months. So any team that trades for him, no matter what he says about a list or anything, they will not be able to have comfort that he is going to extend his contract or going to stay. So as a result, I think every team is on the same footing, which means you're trading for a guy who could potentially walk in a year. With that understanding, I think it's very difficult for the Celtics to commit Jason Tatum to the deal if Kyrie Irving has already walked. And if they're not willing to put Jason Tatum in the deal, I think they lose leverage in being able to make the best offer. Now, this is where it comes to the front office. If the front office may evaluate that Jaylen Brown might have a better future than Jason Tatum, that's where you have to make an adjustment. But if Jason Tatum is not in the deal, I think it brings into play a whole lot more teams, including the Lakers, especially if the Lakers draft pick moved into that top four. They have it's not a good chance, but they have a reasonable chance of that happening. So there's factors even outside the Pelicans' control. But ultimately, I think one of the things you have to do is you have to decide how deep in this draft you want to go into. Now, for example, do you want the number 11 pick if from the Lakers, or you don't want the 11th pick, and do you want the fourth pick only, you know, inside the top four only? Second thing you got to establish, like, what about Brandon Ingram? You may like Brandon Ingram, but Brandon Ingram just had this blood clot that has thrown his future into doubt. You got to do your research on that, and then you've got to look elsewhere, too, at what other teams have packages. I'll tell you the team that I would keep an eye on, and you can watch them in the playoffs, is the Clippers. Because the Clippers have salary cap space, they have young assets, they have draft picks. They have a type of package that could get Anthony Davis. They were silent in February, but they could make some noise again. So keep an eye on the Clippers. Think about, you know, getting potentially some of the draft assets they have. Think about the possibility of getting, you know, at the game-winning play last night, two rookies, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, seeding to Landry Shamet. Both of those guys, rookies, both of those guys you might be able to get your hands on. Think about a trade potential with the Clippers as well.
There it is. Brian Windhorst, great info. And give me 10 seconds. Zion Williamson. I mean, does anybody trade him out of the first pick? I know here in New Orleans, people are hoping that it's the Knicks, and maybe people can look at that as the only one. But I can't see Cleveland. I know Phoenix wants a new arena. Chicago, you know, to get somebody. I mean, does anybody think about trading him out of the first spot?
Probably not. But I would say that I am not a talent evaluator,
mm-hmm.
but I was incredibly excited by what I saw out of Ja Morant. And there's a possibility that Ja Morant is a very different type of player, but could be a spectacular NBA player. May not have the star power, may not have the shoe endorsement, may not have the highlights that Zion does, has a chance to be as good or better of an NBA player. And he will be available to two pick, and I think the two pick becomes especially interesting when it comes to Anthony Davis, depending on the team especially, because if you're New York and you get the number two pick and you have the opportunity to maybe add Anthony Davis to a Kevin Durant or add Anthony Davis to a Kyrie Irving and compete immediately, I think that's why one of the most important days for the Pelicans in this whole saga is May 14th, not only for their pick, but the picks with the teams they might talk to.
Indeed. Brian Windhorst of ESPN at Windhorst ESPN is the way to follow him on Twitter. Hey, man, appreciate your time. I know you're always busy. Love what you guys do over there on the jump and obviously all the coverage. And we're paying attention in New Orleans because our future depends on it. Thanks, bud. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
Yep, absolutely. Great stuff. Of course, we'll have that interview coming up on our podcast. And Jordan will put that on our Twitter link and follow us. I thought it was important to kind of look to a lot of different scenarios and areas, right? I mean, not only his relationship with David Griffin, what kind of guy you're going to get, how powerful is Clutch? And I thought it was interesting in that interview, so much to get into, but I agree. At the end of the day, the decisions and how things went down, it was Anthony Davis, you know? And Ja Morant there, Jordan, your eyes kind of opened up there, huh? Huh? Look, again, May 14th could be something else. Kurt Elend talks about the NBA playoffs next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Sports Hangover with ESPN New Orleans.
Always on the run and short on cash? With a State Bank and Trust Company debit card, you can pay for goods and services without the need for cash in your pockets or the hassle of writing checks. Available on all consumer and commercial checking account holders. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Archie Manning here for Thibodeau Regional. In the Manning household, we're pretty serious about sports. And just like the team at the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional, we're also very serious about sports safety. As the region's leader in First Comprehensive Sports Medicine Program, they've been in the game longer with certified athletic trainers, fellowship-trained sports medicine physicians, and neuro-sports-trained experts. So play hard, play to win, but play it safe with the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional.
Now at the Home Depot, save up to 35% off appliance special buys, like the Samsung Stainless Steel Side-by-Side Refrigerator, just $9.98. You save $300. It's big enough to hold 25 bags of groceries. Unload those, and if that makes you thirsty, you'll really love the external ice maker and water dispenser. Today is the day for doing. Spring Black Friday savings now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details, valid through April 17th.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that brake job done. At AutoZone, we have everything you need to do it right. Replacing your brake pads? It might be time to replace your rotors, too. Our Duralast brake bundle has the proven tough Duralast pads and rotors you need to do the complete job, starting at only $99.99 and sold only at AutoZone. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Did you stay up last night and watch history in the NBA? A couple of games tonight. You got three of them. Magic, Raptors, Spurs, Nuggets, and Thunder. taking on. One of the things that I was looking at last night was just incredible, that the comeback, and I was just looking at it in front of me, so I kind of lost my train of thought there. Just the Boogie injury, just the comeback, just really incredible from one aspect of another. So yeah, Magic, Raptors, Spurs, Nuggets, and Thunder, and Trailblazers coming up here to talk a little bit about the NBA playoffs and get his thoughts on what the Pels can be doing here in the near future. Mr. Kurt Heelan over at NBC Sports covers the NBA, lead NBA writer for NBCSports.com. Love the Twitter handle, at Basketball Talk. Really simple. Kurt, how are you this afternoon, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, man.
For sure, man. Let's start with the Pels, and we'll get into the NBA playoffs, because I think there are a lot of interesting storylines. I get Golden State is all that and everything, but I thought it was going to be a very competitive playoff. So we'll get to that in a quick set. Just your overall thoughts. Pels hire David Griffin. What did you think outside of New Orleans here?
I thought this was a great hire for them for a couple reasons. He's just the best guy on the board. He's frankly the guy the Lakers should have called first rather than apparently nobody. But it's a very smart hire, a guy who knows how to do this. And I think what I really like about this hire internally is, look, I have interviewed David Griffin. I've talked to him, you know, on and off the record, frankly, a few times. What he wanted, look, he's worked for, you think about the two owners he's worked for as a GM. Robert Sarver in Phoenix and then Dan Gilbert in Cleveland. Two of the hardest to work for, most meddling owners in the league. Two guys who, because of their success in other businesses, are convinced they know basketball. And it can be challenging to be the GM there. And he wasn't going to have that anymore. If he went somewhere, he had to be in lockstep with ownership on what the plan was, how much power he was going to have. He wanted a lot. He wanted a lot of control, but he wanted to be able to do things his way. And look, it's not like you don't consult an owner. You obviously consult an owner, especially when you're talking about something like Anthony Davis. But he wanted the ability to kind of go his direction. And the fact that they brought him in and he believes them and he's clearly got that kind of mandate speaks well for them. It means they're letting the basketball people do basketball things. And frankly, that's what all the best organizations do.
How important was it to get that respect level from the get-go?
I think that was huge. Look, when I talked with Griffin, his thing was, in fact, his exact on the record phrasing I used in the story was, if you're not building a family, I don't think I want to be part of it. If you're not looking to build that kind of atmosphere, then I don't want to be part of that anymore. I've done that. And the fact that he brings a level of respect, the fact that they were able to earn his respect with, you know, Dale Benson and Mickey Loomis and everyone else who was in on this, it just speaks to, I think, what they're trying to build and how they're going to do it and how they're going to go about it, that they were able to get a guy who had options, who could have gotten paid and gone a lot of places, and the fact that they landed him speaks to well to what they're building.
That's key. Kurt Heelan, NBC Sports, covers the NBA. And I just can't you say that in the way you've presented, and everyone that we've talked to so far is that very key. That this wasn't something where, hey, I want to get back into this, or it's his first gig. Because as you mentioned, there were some other teams that probably should have or could have called. And it's that respect level that matters, because he's going to be doing a lot of different deals here, right? Whether it's the lottery, doing picks, how you go about that, the hiring when you call, and if you want to rework or tinker with your scouting department, people like that probably get to choose and know who the better scouts are. Or conversely, those good scouts would rather work for someone like that, especially if they have the power and the money and the resources and all that, right?
Exactly. It's also, and he's got people he's comfortable with, people he has a relationship with, and he can work with other people as well that he knows and are professional, but it's like every other business. If you've dealt with this person before and you know, you've been in this radio station, or I've been with this publication, and I've dealt with this editor before, I've dealt with this GM before, I know how they work, I like dealing with them, they're professional, then you're more willing to go there. You're more willing, and it's going to be the same way with quality scouts. I mean, he had a good scouting department. He's run things really well, and when he's had trouble, is always kind of been, more dealing with, you know.
Ownership.
It's not easy to manage up with Sarver and Gilbert.
Yeah, no doubt. Do you think that there will be more moves underneath him in terms of a GM, assistant GMs?
I would expect that there would be some other people coming in. I imagine he's going to lay the groundwork and put in both within scouting and within basketball ops and everything else. I imagine that there's going to be I don't know if somebody's going to get the formal title of GM or if they'll be an assistant GM,
right.
But there'll
mm-hmm.
be there'll be a few people, and there's possibly holdovers as well. He's got a person he knows and trusts and likes and has a great relationship with there in Alvin Gentry. So if Gentry came to him and said, hey, person X is somebody we really want to keep, then that'll be a big endorsement.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people around here have kind of speculated, especially when you hear the owner and Gail Benson speak with Kurt Heelan of NBC Sports here, that she spoke very highly of how he's handled the situation. And look, we can go back and forth in X's and O's, rotations, should he have given different players. And I've said on the air, and Kurt, you understand this, when you have the Band-Aid approach in any relationship, imagine working for NBC, and if you're column, your write-up isn't, you know, award-winning every time. It's, well, you know, we may find someone else. Relationships can't work like that, but that's how it was. If the Pels lost two in a row, AD's leaving. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like every move, every game, every loss was, well, Anthony Davis is getting traded. That's not really how you coach or you run an organization, but to see how Gentry's kind of handled that, again, hearing the owner say she appreciates it as well. A lot of people feel if he's not the head coach, they'll offer him some sort of front office position or something of that nature.
Yeah.
Could you see that?
I could see that. I could definitely. I would be surprised if he left the organization. I imagine he stays on as coach. But you know, what's about to happen there? Well, actually, I mean, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it? Do you get a couple of veterans? Do you try to win more now? Do you go more the Indiana approach to rebuilding or closer maybe to the Clippers, who've been trading all these stars but haven't really taken these steps back? Or are you going to go young? I imagine they're going to go young, and maybe you want to bring in a more developmental coach or somebody who kind of specializes that, but Gentry can do that, or we bring in people under him. The good thing about Gentry as a coach is he has a distinct style. He knows how he wants to play. He hasn't completely been able to do that, but even the Pelicans played really fast the last couple of years.
Right.
Whoever they bring in, whatever they do, they have a style they want to build to. And that's, look, Griffin wouldn't be there if they didn't have all this on the same page. And, you know, that's a good starting point. You just got to have everybody in lockstep, because when you go out and start getting players, the stars, whether you're talking Davis, but frankly, whether you're talking James Harden or Steph Curry or LeBron James or yada, 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 you know what? They're fine in any system. It's not going to be a problem for those levels. The all-star level players will be fine and beyond will be fine in any system. What you've got to do is develop younger players, role players, the guys 3, 4, 5 through 8, 9, 10 on your bench.
Mm-hmm.
They have to fit the system. They have to buy into the roles, and you've got to have everybody in lockstep trying to get those kind of players and develop them in that style. And if you're doing that with Gentry, at least you know what you want to do.
Kurt Heelan at Basketball Talk, the way to follow on Twitter. Thanks for a little insight on what the Pels do. All right, NBA playoffs are going on. We've had two full days of four games on Saturday and Sunday. And then yesterday, two games that, you know, I mean, lots of points scored on both. What stood out to you so far?
A few things. I think Brooklyn is seriously in this series. Philly won yesterday because they had the ridiculous 51-point quarter, and they just went off and they did the things they need to do. Ben Simmons was very aggressive from the start. That said, Joel Embiid's just not 100%. He's had flashes. He's put up numbers. He's had flashes, but he doesn't have the same lift. He's not quite the same guy. And Brooklyn's feisty, and now they're going, you know, it's 1-1, and they're going home. I think they have a shot at this, more than I think, like, some of the wins. I'm not convinced Orlando is mm-hmm. in this thing. I am not convinced. Like, the Clippers won yesterday, and it was a historic comeback, and I think it speaks to how much heart they play with and how hard they play. But they came back because the Warriors got bored. Well, the Warriors were up 31 midway through the third and just flipped the switch off and turned off the lights and went home.
Right.
And the game wasn't over yet. That's not going to happen. You know, Thursday night, I don't think that's what happens when they face off, even back in Los Angeles. The Clippers mm-hmm. are feisty, but it's I don't see them winning that series. But I think Brooklyn's got a shot. I think Brooklyn can knock off Philly. They may not, but it's going to be – Philly's going to have to earn this one.
What's in the series of Thunder and Trailblazers, which team do you feel has the most pressure to advance and advance deeply?
I think it's more on Oklahoma City. And here's – the main reason is simply that Portland lost their whether second or third best player, depending on how you want to view Nurkic. I think he might have been their second best for a lot of this year. But when their big man went down, who was having this breakout year for them, and it become the guy Damian Lillard could lean on as an outlet, as a, hey, we're trapping Damian, we're going to take the ball out of his hands. He can now get the ball to Nurkic, and Nurkic was, you know, scoring or finding guys in the corners, his playmaking had improved, just a lot of things in his game. He'd become a better defender. When all that clicked, you know, that's when you were like, uh-oh, Portland is actually maybe better this year. Maybe this team's for real, and without him, and I thought they'd be better. Oklahoma City, man, Billy Donovan's coaching for his job right now because they were not good in game one, and a lot of it was technical. I mean, Enes Kanter's out there. 2 years ago, they couldn't play Enes Kanter in a playoff series. Why? Because he can't defend a pick and roll for his life, and they barely put him in pick and roll. They barely used him. I mean, they did it at the start of the game and a little bit late, but they went large swaths of the game without exposing him. And like, so I think they're under a lot of pressure. I think with those two stars and everything, they've got to win.
When you saw Giannis in the Bucks, look, obviously one of the nice surprises this season, seeing them get the number one seed. Man, they came to play. I guess I was looking at game one to see how do they handle that. It really does look like Giannis is ready to take that light and that team, really.
I do. I think it's a great confidence boost. To be fair here, the Pistons without Blake Griffin are not a very good, they're not a playoff team. They're not a very good team. He was on my all NBA ballot when I sent it in this week, last week. Mm-hmm. He had a fantastic year, maybe playing the best basketball, best mental basketball of his career. He's not, he's not quite leaping over Kias like he used to, but in terms of the rest, but you've got to guard him at the 3-point line now. And he's a great passing playmaker, and he always was, but now he's really upped that part of his game and his handles. Like, he's just become this great all around player, and they're not the same without him. And so that opens the door, but I think it's good for the Bucks that, they win this thing in four probably. But that's confidence, right? What they really needed was, hey, we can roll this. We can get going. And if they get all that confidence heading into the second round, they're going to need it because Boston is going to be good.
Kurt, we'll touch base with you, man, after the first round winds up and see where these semifinal games going into the conference finals get up. Always a pleasure, man, when you give us a little bit of your time at Basketball Talks, the way to follow over on Twitter, NBCSports.com/NBA to get the NBA coverage. His name is Kurt Helin. Thank you, bud.
Hey, thank you. Hey, man, I think every member of the national NBA media is rooting for New Orleans and David Griffin to get good again fast because, man, we all want to travel there. All want to spend more time there to help us out.
I told you, whenever you come again, please let me know. We'll take care of you.
Yeah, I promise I will, man.
Okay, man. You need to get here on maybe draft night. If they win the lottery on May 14th, I think you might you might have that excuse on that expense report.
Yeah, well, look, I keep trying to come up with excuses. One of my best friend from high school and college is a professor at Tulane. I'm always looking for excuses.
Okay, well, there you go, man. Thank you, bud. Appreciate it.
Take care.
There he is, Kurt Helin. Jordan the intern. We spoke a couple weeks ago when free agency started. You were a little nervous about the Saints and the moves. I told you, Musa, right? I said, just relax. It's going to happen. Did it come to fruition? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, but I did to try to help you get people on that would tell you why, gave you reasons why, right? Have you noticed that's what I've been trying to do here over the last couple of weeks for Pels fans to have hope and feel good about yourself? Our two guests that we just had back-to-back, don't you feel better about the Pelicans' future?
Absolutely.
Okay, exactly. Okay,
they're behind the media. Sounds like the media is behind them rather than trying to go against them.
And look, again, it's not me. I'm trying to get people that have an understanding and know who they are. So these two guests know who David Griffin is.
Has deep connections with David Griffin.
And they spoke to him and they know what he's about. And you heard background info as to why they think this is going to work. Now, is every move going to be on par? Of course not. But gives you an idea. Gail Benson, round of applause. You made it right home. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
the Firehouse Subs and try the brisket sub, piled high with brisket that smoked 16 hours and sliced to perfection and topped with cheddar cheese and sweet Davy Ray's barbecue sauce. Or try the new Cajun chicken sub, full of flavor and only around for a limited time. Firehouse Subs slices their meat daily in-house to provide the freshest quality product. Go to FirehouseSubs.com or download the Firehouse Subs app and use our online ordering. Give Firehouse Subs in Houma or Thibodaux a call for all of your catering needs. Firehouse Subs wants to wish the Nicholls State baseball team the best of luck this season.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Houma Tractor would like to thank everyone who attended our John Deere Drive Green event and made it a great success. We're also announcing continued savings through April 30th on all John Deere tractors, zero-turn mowers, and Gator utility vehicles. Special discounts, ride and drive demo discounts, and special financing apply. There is no better time to buy a new John Deere. Remember, all special discounts will be available till April 30th. Houma Tractor, your locally owned John Deere dealer, specializing in sales, parts, and service.
The 2019 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series is underway, and you can get caught up on the latest information for this week's race on Fridays right here, ESPN New Orleans. And it's all sponsored by Rogers Parts, locally owned, nationally known. Rogers Parts has been serving the local area for over 50 years. Get the expert analysis and latest news of this week's NASCAR racing event all throughout the season, every Friday on ESPN New Orleans, 100.3 FM. Napa Know How.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back. Sports Hangover, 800-998-1003. Robert Emmett chiming in. This is how it works on a day like today. Robert, how about 145? Sounds good. Looks good. 145, Robert Emmett.
I've been so into golf.
There we go.
This past week.
It's funny you said that because he was supposed to come on yesterday. And he said, dude, I've been so busy because of Tiger. Everyone's coming in with their clubs. They want it fitted. They want them cleaned. They want new clubs, new drivers. And again, this is why yesterday I spoke about the importance of what he did Sunday. He won a tournament, yes. He got another jacket, yes. But from a sports talk position, yeah. He's chasing Jack.
He turned the champ.
Great. Yeah, absolutely. It's why the questions yesterday, and you know, yesterday I got home after the show and waiting for little guy to get up from his nap, so I watched, you know, highly questionable around the horn, party in the eruption. And the questions asked to all the panel were what we were talking about yesterday. Names like Ali, Jackie Robinson. I mean, just different. We're talking not just game changing in terms of their sport, cultural changing individuals. We're talking about people that got people that didn't look like them to root for them. There's something to be said about that. I believe that every day we should all strive to just treat each other as we, you know, as we're just normal people and just as we are as everyone else, right? I mean, I look at Jordan, he's the intern. Regardless of how he looked or where he came from, you're my intern, right? I mean, that's how it works. But the reality of life is sometimes it's not like that. Not with you and me.
I don't like you.
Yeah, I treat you terribly regardless. Yeah. But my point is, that's just not reality. Then you throw in money. And what I mean by that is, for some reason, we're the dumbest animal on the planet. We are. Like, we eat each other, you know.
What?
No, well, and I don't mean, like, maybe physically. Sometimes we might do. We've done, like, human sacrifices in the past. Like, we're just a terrible species.
We eat each other. Wait, yeah. You lost me at we eat each other.
Well, I mean, look, we've done really dumb things in our
but that's
lifetime.
Not the majority.
Yeah, well, I'm just talking about in general. And when I say eat each other, yes. I mean, maybe some physically, but mentally, okay. Emotionally, we would just, I mean, we devour. We really honestly do. We will tear each other down mentally, physically. We get in fights for no reason. Really, you know, I watch like the Animal Planet or National Geographic, and I watch quote unquote beasts, quote unquote wildlife, and I'm like, they're more civilized than we are. Like, honestly, I mean, seriously, you know, like there's kills for a reason. They eat something because they're hungry, and that's what they need to do to eat and live. But you've also seen like a tiger grab. You know, a baby elephant or something and like nurture him if the mom died. I mean, like you've seen examples in nature where the better side of things take an effect. For some reason, we can't sometimes. So I look at sports a lot of times and I think one of the reasons that we have quote unquote great moments in sports, which is funny because I thought about using that yesterday and I just forgot about it and just popped in today, which makes no sense, but. How do you define a great moment in sport? What makes a moment in sports great? Context. What kind of context? Last night. Was last night a great moment in sport, right? 31-point comeback. Yes. To a context, yeah. Statistically, greatest comeback in playoff history by the numbers. Yes, that is. But it's different, right? If, say, the game winner is by somebody that hadn't played or was recovering from, I mean, there's different contexts, right? So what stand, now we're talking about the single solitary standout moments. The Olympics, which just, I mean, right? I mean, these are moments that stand the test of time, that change events. I'm not saying that last Sunday changed things, but it just went to show you where he is as an athlete. He's incredibly rare. And I think it also goes to speak to, I think, just the American populace when it comes to our sports. What we like. We like a little tragedy every now and then. We like to watch somebody hit rock bottom.
We do.
But we like even more when they come back. A-Rod was the bunt of a ton of jokes, man. Right? A-Roid, you name it. He was amazingly unlikable with the Yankees. Yankee fans didn't like him. They booed him mercilessly. Like he had one good playoff. Remember, I mean, like the storyline for him was he would just disappear in the postseason. He had that 1 year, vindicated, they won, it was good. What happened after? And again, he got popped, PEDs, all that stuff. Now? He's unbelievable as an analyst, right? He's incredibly likable. He's on like five different networks. He's on Sunday Night Baseball. He's on Fox. He's incredible. Like, you want to go, right? And people respect him and like him. So, to an extent, it is incredible when you look at it. But yeah, I mean, he said it. And as I said, it's an image that's going to stay with me. I'm sitting there in front of the play area at the Lakeside Mall and I saw grown men literally running into post, people standing in line. I saw one guy hit a chair and almost knocked down a pizza slice that somebody had because they were looking at their phones and on their phones was the Masters. Just think about that. They were watching golf, not Saints Rams, golf. Golf. Sports Hangover Hour 2 coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Hour 1. Brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. Have been injured in an accident. Ring the King. 504-909-KING. Go check them out online. KingInjuryFirm.com. Hour 2 next on ESPN New Orleans.